So it's an honor to be able to share today. I have three little pieces of paper with notes on them, and I will promise I will stop talking when I run out of papers. However, those little notes do have years of stories behind them, so if it gets too long and you know that we do have communion today, you can start throwing things at me, say, enough, cut my mic, whatever you'd like to do. As I was thinking about this passage of scripture this week, I started thinking about these scribes and these Pharisees who were always trying to see what Jesus was up to. Not because they wanted to learn from him, or not that this is an exciting new teaching he has. I really want to learn. Maybe I can grow. But they wanted to catch him. They wanted to make sure that he knew that he was doing things wrong. They were always looking. Have you ever looked for something that was so close at hand that you didn't see it? I lose things on my desk all the time. It'll be right there, I'll be working on it for several days, and then I tell you, I could sit there for half an hour and I can't find it. I remember one time I was looking for a blue pen. And I looked and I looked, and later on that afternoon, I found out my blue pen was a blue ink pen, but it was red. I was looking for a blue pen, and I couldn't figure out why I couldn't find it. We often try to find things that are right under our noses, and we don't see it. The scribes are looking for the presence of God. They think they know where the presence of God is found. They just don't see what's right in front of their faces. It was right there, and they couldn't see it. They're looking at Jesus and hearing Jesus' words, and they don't realize that the words he shares talk about this kingdom of God that embraces all. A kingdom of God which is present and at hand. And he often says that, and Mark, he says it often. The kingdom of God is at hand, which means it is right here. You can literally touch it. You can see it. You can experience it. It's not something that's out there. It's not something that we have to wait for. It's not some secret thing. But it is here. And Jesus often tells them, and when you're near me, you are within the presence of God. They think they know what they're looking for, and yet they miss it. They practically trip right over it, and they don't see it. I think we do some of the same things in church. We have some rules or traditions or expectations. For some of us who have grown up in a church in one single congregation for our entire lives, we think that everything we do is just like what every other church does. And we can't imagine that anybody else would do things any differently. We think that these norms are the traditions and rules of the church. And sometimes we don't quite realize why we do things. It's like the woman who, when she was cooking a roast, she took out her pan and she cut off both ends of the roast. She put it in the pan and put it in the oven. And she did this for years, and her daughter would watch her and think it was the best roast she ever had. And so one day she finally said, you know, I want to know why you do that. She says, that's because my mother did that. I don't know why. She always cut the ends off and put it in the pan. It's like a church that I served a number of years ago. It's a small church, and actually it's a very large church in Michigan. It was my first Sunday there, and before I went there, it was a communion Sunday, and I said, I need to know how you do things. And their response, we do it like everybody else. I said, well, tell me about communion. How do you do communion? Oh, just the normal way, the regular way. So we're going through the service, and I'm having a good time, and we're enjoying it, and then we get to the time where it is time for communion. And so we bless the elements, and we invite the elders and the deacons to come forward, and we passed out the plates of communion bread and wine, and they went out to the seats, they passed them around, and they were all standing there in the pews. The last church I was at, we would then say, you know, like this, and they would all walk up, we would take the trays and then serve them and go on. So I'm standing there and I'm going, and nothing happened. And so I think, I'll try it again. Okay. And they just stood there. Finally, someone sitting in the choir right next to me said, take and eat. And thinking, okay, so I said, take and eat. And everybody took and ate, and then they came forward. And I thought, what in the world is this? Afterwards, they looked at me like, we thought you knew what you were doing. And I said, I asked you how you did this. We do it like everybody else. They did not. We experience God in many different ways in many different places, and sometimes we think what we do is typical, normal kinds of stuff. And sometimes the typical, normal kinds of stuff kind of gets in the way of who we are and who God has called us to be. I've experienced God in many different settings over the years, and I found out that not everybody had the same expectations as I did. I have to tell you, this is a graceful church. When things don't go right, no one gets upset. If we skip something in the bulletin, you probably have a momentary spasm, like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? But this is a graceful church. We know that we have come here together to be with God, and sometimes we are going to be human, and things are not going to work out right. Some of the churches that I experienced have shown this grace, this diversity of people who've come together with different sets of expectations, different experiences. And we would assume that God's kingdom is full of people with different experiences. Like the church I served in Grand Rapids, Michigan, the Servants Community Church, it was an odd bunch of folks. Les lived in his car. Les lived in his car because his apartment burned down and he didn't have any place to go, and he lived in his car and he would often come into church. He was there every Sunday and he would sit next to a vice president from Amway as if this is what God is like. God is like people coming together who have very different backgrounds. An executive from Amway who had an amazing house and a lot of money who thought nothing of sitting next to Les, who sat next to him in this chair. Les often had this little pad of paper and he would write notes, and we thought, what is Les writing? And every once in a while, we would see him on a weekday and he said, I gotta go talk to my lawyer. And so we had the secret thought, maybe Les is an eccentric billionaire. And that one of these days, Les is gonna give us all kinds of money. But Les was just Les. We don't know who he was talking to or what he was doing, but he was there. And that room of people was so diverse and yet so accepting, because when they saw each other, it wasn't the guy in the car or the people that really haven't had a bath in a week and wish they would, but my sister, my brother. The rules of that church were come and be who you are. Come and become whom God has called you to be. We are all members of the Servants community. And then there was the Church of the Good News that I served for a year in Chicago. If you ever think about that rule that the kids talked to me about today, about running in church or screaming in church, you would probably not fit into Church of the Good News in Chicago. On a typical Sunday, we met in a renovated tavern. It was an awful building. And it probably held about 60 people. And we set it up with chairs, and probably 70% of the people in that worship service were children from the projects. And we would sing with guitars, and they would be boisterous, and they would be bouncing all over the place. I'll never forget that place, because Maynard, who was a wonderful old man, had all these grandchildren there. He became the grandfather of this entire church, and those kids listened to him. And they knew that there were any rules, it was, I could be myself, I can jump around, I can do whatever, but I'm going to be in church, and I am going to embrace what God is giving me today. You would probably lose your minds. My first couple Sundays there, I thought, where am I? This is crazy. And then when I was in seminary, I went to a church on a Sunday night thinking, oh, I have a preaching gig, I'm going to make a little bit of money. It's a Sunday night. Who goes to church on a Sunday night? 400 people go to church on this church on a Sunday night. I wasn't real prepared, but I got there, and I did okay. But I kept looking at the man in the front pew with a boombox that was held together with duct tape, and he kept playing with it, like, I'm trying to record this service, and I'm having a hard time. And as I was preaching and as we were worshiping, I kept being distracted by this man, thinking, who in the world is this guy? And so after church, somebody came from up, I think it was one of the elders of the church, and said, "So have you met Charles? He's building our new church." I said, "What do you mean he's building your new church?" "He gave us the money. Did you see this construction down the road?" So I had a millionaire with a boombox that needed to be held together with duct tape. I didn't expect that. But it was grace. And we are called to be about grace. We are called to come together and be as we are. We are come to come here with expectations of meeting God in different ways. We are called to come here without expectations that people have to fit a certain mold or be something other than who they are. We have called people, no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. Not just so you have a place to be welcome, but that I can learn from you as well, that I can grow. It's this crazy ragtag army of God in this world where I have been most blessed. The people I don't expect to hear God from. Like Wally, the drunk on the street in Grand Rapids, who one day told me a story and I saw the prodigal son right in front of me. And I was numb for days, thinking that God spoke to me at that moment. Before we go to communion, where we can come, where we are welcome at the table, let me share a portion of Ann Weems. "I took to church one morning a happy 4-year-old boy, holding a bright blue string to which was attached his much-loved orange balloon with pink stripes. Certainly a thing of beauty. And if not forever, at least a joy for a very important now. When later he met me at the door, clutching blue string, orange and pink bobbing behind him, he didn't have to tell me something had gone wrong. 'What's the matter?' He wouldn't tell me. 'I bet they loved your balloon.' Out it came then, mocking the teacher's voice, 'We don't bring balloons to church.' Then the 4-year-old, his lip a bit trembly, asked, 'Why aren't balloons allowed in church? I thought God would like balloons.' I celebrate balloons, parades, and chocolate chip cookies. I celebrate seashells and elephants and lions that roar. I celebrate roasted marshmallows and chocolate cake and fresh fish. I celebrate aromas, bread baking, mincemeat, lemons. I celebrate seeing bright colors, wheat in the field, wild flowers. I celebrate hearing waves pounding, rain falling, soft voices. I celebrate touching toes in the sand, a kitten's fur, another person. I celebrate the sun that shines slap dab in our faces. I celebrate snow falling, the wondrous quiet of the snow falling. I celebrate the crashing thunder and the brazen lightning. I celebrate the green of the world, the life-giving green, the hope-giving green. And I celebrate birth, the wonder, the miracle of that tiny life already asserting its selfhood. I celebrate children who laugh out loud, who walk in the mud and dawdle in the puddles, put chocolate fingers anywhere, who like to be tickled, who scribble in church, who whisper in loud voices, who sing in louder voices, who run and laugh when they fall, who cry at the top of their lungs, who cover themselves with Band-Aids, who squeeze the toothpaste all over the bathroom, who slurp their soup, who chew cough drops, who ask questions, who give us sticky paste-covered creations, who want their pictures taken, who don't use napkins, who bury their goldfish, sleep with the dogs, scream at their best friends, who hug us in a hurry and rush outside without their hats. I celebrate children who are so busy living that they don't have time for our hang-ups. And I celebrate adults who are as little children." And Jesus called the little children. They didn't follow all the rules that we expected. He certainly didn't teach or live as we expected. But that is where the grace is found. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for this day, for the words that you share with us, through the words of the scriptures, through the words of our lives. Thank you for blessing us and touching us in all the people that surround us. In your name we pray. Amen.